chapter 29 in one hand, Matthew chapter 1 in the other hand. Thank you so much, brother. I started out preparing tonight to continue to preach concerning the problem text in the Bible. We will do that some more, but I've been here in a couple of weeks. I thought I would do something that would, a Bible study that would be a, maybe keep you awake a little better. How to put that? I was assigned a topic several weeks ago entitled Judas Fall. And so we'll look at that in the Bible tonight. We'll talk about Judas. He's a very interesting Bible character, that's for sure. A lot of myths about him we will dispel as well from the Bible. And so the best that I can tell, and I'll make mention of these just briefly for your information. The best that I can tell, there are six men in the Bible named Judas, and all six of those men are in the New Testament. Now, there is one exception, but his name is Judah, but he's called Judas in the New Testament. We'll look at that in just a moment. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible and the opportunity to be in church on a Wednesday night. Thank you for the good singing and the good prayer time together. And Lord, again, I mention all of these prayer requests that were made known to us tonight and throughout the day and others on our prayer request list. There's so many people, Lord, that is in great need of your help. I do pray for these folks, Lord, that you would help them meet their needs spiritually, physically. And Lord, we sure love you. Thank you for that. Please help us tonight as we look and study from your word to be encouraged from the Bible and from the scripture. And we'll thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to show you Genesis 29, but I want to look at Matthew chapter 1 first. Then we'll look at Genesis. So hold your place in Genesis. We're going right there. In Matthew chapter 1, the Bible tells us this. I'll find it. I have you guys to find it. I need to find it myself. Matthew chapter 1, we see the genealogy of Christ. The Bible says this, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, notice what verse number 2, Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas. There's that name. And his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zareph, Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and so on and so on. But here we see this name Judas. And I mentioned that all the men, the six men in the Bible that are named Judas, are all in the New Testament. If you look at Genesis chapter 29, we'll see that this, he is called Judas in the New Testament, but this is actually Jacob's fourth son by Leah, and his name is Judah. Genesis 29, verse 35 says, and she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. And so I'll only mention that in case some of you decide that I'm going to check out and see if there are any more men in the New Testament named Judas. I want you to know that I did see that. Now, I may not read all of these references. I will mention these six men in the New Testament who bear the name of Judas. Jesus has a half-brother. Look in Matthew chapter 13. I say half-brother because they have the same mother, but they certainly don't have the same father. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, Jesus has a half-brother named Judas. The Bible tells us this. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother named Mary? And his brethren, so it mentions some of his other earthly brothers as well, James and Joses and Simon and Judas. Now, this is the same Judas who is the author of the book of Jude. In fact, if we were to turn there, we would read in Jude in verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, here's another one. Come to John chapter 14. There was an apostle also known as, I probably won't pronounce this correctly, Lebedus or Thaddeus. He has those names as well.
But here in this passage of Scripture in John chapter 14, verse number 22, the Bible says, Judah saith unto him, not Iscariot. So he is, there's a discretion there. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? So that is an apostle known as Labias or Thaddeus, also named Judas. Now come to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. There was a Galilean who stirred up sedition shortly after the birth of Christ, who also bare the name of Judas. We'll read that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. The Bible says, after this rose up Judas of Galilee. Now here's an interesting thing, and I'll mention this again in a minute. All of the disciples, the original 12 apostles, I should say, of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of them were from Galilee except for Judas. And so when the Bible tells us here in Acts chapter 5, verse 37, after this rose up Judas of Galilee, we know right away that this is a different Judas. In the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. So there was a Galilean that stirred up sedition. Now, come to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, we will find that there was a man named Judas with whom Paul stayed, or who where Paul lodged in a street called Straight. You know, in Acts chapter 9 is where Saul was converted. And the Bible says in verse number 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Now, there's two more. Let's look at another. Look at Acts chapter 15, and then we'll get to the one we're going to preach about this evening or talk about this afternoon. There's also a prophet named Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, the Bible tells us. And he was sent with Silas to Antioch. We see that in Acts chapter 15. The Bible says, then pleased it the apostles and elders of the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. So that's five men in the New Testament that bear the name Judas. But there is one Judas remaining, and that is Judas Iscariot. Now, Judas Iscariot is mentioned by name 22 times in the New Testament in 22 verses. However, he is talked about far more than that in Scripture. In 13 of those 22 verses, there is a derogatory statement made concerning Judas. In 4 of those 22 verses, even though there is not a direct derogatory statement made concerning Judas, we know from the context that the intentions of Judas are despicable. In 11 of those 22 verses, so half of them, if my math is still correct, we're told that Judas betrayed him, speaking obviously of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, this is a horrible thing. Here, what a horrible thing. Judas's name is in the Bible. He's mentioned in the Bible by name over 20 times in the Scripture, and not a single time is there anything good said about him at all. And so what a horrible thing to have your name mentioned so many times in Scripture and there be nothing at all said about you good. Now come to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, the very first time we find the very first time that his name is mentioned. However, he is mentioned without being named in the Old Testament. We'll look at some of those places in just a moment in prophecy. But here in Matthew chapter 10 is the first time that he is mentioned in Scripture by name. And in this very first time that his name is mentioned, we are told that Judas betrayed Christ. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 4. Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, the four Gospels portray the betrayal of Christ by Judas as a despicable crime, and we certainly understand that. In fact, it is quite possible that one of the darkest deeds that's ever been done by mankind would certainly be the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have this, it's mentioned, as I've already said, 11 times the Bible tells us who betrayed him, who betrayed him. What a horrible thing to have associated with your name throughout the Bible. Now, the Bible, the word betray means to deliver up. And that is exactly what Judas did. He delivered up the Lord Jesus to be beaten and crucified. Now, I mentioned just briefly a moment ago that this Bible character, Judas, he's a very strange and unique individual. In fact, there are some things about him that some folks deem to be seem to be mysterious to some degree, but I don't believe they are at all. And we understand that even though Judas was a man that physically betrayed and delivered up the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified, and the Bible says, and I think it's in Matthew chapter 26, woe unto the man that did such a horrible thing. However, it is all of us that delivered up Jesus to be crucified. And let me show you this. Look in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he stated in Acts chapter 2 that Jesus was delivered by the determinate counsel of God. Now, we'll mention what that is in just a moment, but look at this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Peter is preaching. He says, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Verse 23, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." Well, having read that statement, a great cross-reference and understanding for that is found in Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8, if you will. Romans chapter 8. And verse number 32, look what the Bible says. "He," that's speaking of God, "that spared not his own son, Jesus, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" So in these verses, we can clearly see that God delivered up his son to be crucified. And I praise the Lord that he was willing to do that. Amen. Now, I should have told you to hold your place in Acts chapter 2. I want to look at verse number 23 again. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 23, look at the verse again. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken." Now notice this last phrase. "And by wicked hands have crucified and slain." So the issue is not just that Jesus died on the cross. It is that Jesus died on the cross and we are all guilty of his death. Now, Peter tells these Jews, "You're guilty, you're responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, we understand that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. That means that Jesus died for you and I. And so if Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, we know that he did. He died for my sin, he died for your sin. So it was our sin, your sin, my sin, that put Jesus on the cross. And so if it were not for the hands of the wicked, if my hands were not wicked, if your hands were not wicked, he would not have been crucified. But I sure am thankful that he was willing to bear our sin upon that cross so that we would have a sacrifice, a sufficient sacrifice, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God so that we could be saved. So you and I, we all share in the responsibility and the accountability of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Now come to Acts chapter 1. I got to get to the sermon. Mention a few things, maybe four or five things about Judas. First of all, Judas's terrible crime was predicted. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 16, notice what the Bible says. "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Judas." Now, we'll get to Judas in just a moment. But every time I read this verse, I want to mention this. I want you to get it set in your mind and your heart. And I want you to see this. This is, I think many of you can see this, but This is a great statement on inspiration concerning Scripture. Notice what it says. It was in David's mouth, but it was the Holy Ghost doing the speaking. And men and brethren, this Scripture must have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judah. So the Holy Ghost may use David's breath, or the Holy Ghost may use Paul's breath, or the Holy Ghost may use John's breath, but it's God's words that are being spoken. I certainly believe in the inspiration of Scripture and also believe in the preservation of Scripture. I believe that God has preserved His Word for the English-speaking people in the King James Bible. And I don't appreciate it when people like have these ideas to change it or alter it or go back to the Greek or Hebrew and all that. There's no need for that if you believe that God preserved His Word for this generation. It doesn't need any correction, amen. I think God did a good enough job keeping His Word without needing anything else. Amen. Now, come to Psalm 41. We talk about the fulfillment of Scripture, what David said. Come to Psalm 41. We could actually look at two places, and maybe we will. There's actually two, Psalm 41 and also Psalm 109. But look what the Bible says in Psalm 41. Now, I want you to notice that the betrayal of Christ by a close friend was a fulfillment of Scripture. And we see that this prophecy fulfilled from Psalm 41. Look at verse number 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend. Now, here's an interesting phrase, and we'll talk about it just briefly. And whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, you and I, we can read that and we understand. We don't have any problem at all understanding the fulfillment of this prophecy that Judas was, he was never Christ's friend, but Christ was his friend. We'll talk about that as well. And he certainly ate with him and he lifted up his heel against him. But this phrase, in whom I trusted, oftentimes causes people some problems. I don't think it does as well. We'll talk about it from the New Testament in just a moment. Jesus trusted him with a position. And he chose him to be an apostle. And we'll talk about that as well. Now, look at Psalm 109. Psalm 109. Why would Jesus do that? Why would he make him an apostle? Well, you'll have to stay awake till we get there. Psalm 109. Look at verse number 6. Verse number 9, or verse number, I can't remember. Verse number 9, I believe it's going to be the verse. But the Bible says, set thou a wicked man over him. I'm going to let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days, this is it, verse 8, let his days be few, and let another take his office. Well, Acts chapter 1, the end of that chapter, another Matthias is certainly going to take his office. Verse number 9 says, let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. And so we see those prophecies concerning the Judas, him having part in denying and betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, come to Matthew chapter 26. This is interesting as well. Judas turning his back on God for 30 pieces of silver was also a fulfillment of prophecy. We see that in Scripture as well. We'll look at that, Matthew chapter 26. And while you're finding that, find Zechariah chapter 11. We'll look at Matthew 26 and we'll cross-reference that with Zechariah chapter 11. It's not far back, just a couple of pages back to the left in the Old Testament. But look at this, Matthew 26, look at verse 14. The Bible says, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted, that word means pledged or promised by a covenant, and they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Well, this 30 pieces of silver was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 11. Look at verse number 12. Zechariah chapter 11, verse number 12. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. Now, notice that 30 pieces of silver. Only God can make such a prophecy and it come true. Now, In this verse, we're told the price will be paid for the man who betrays the Lord. Listen, this prediction took place, this prophecy took place 500 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed. And I don't know, I'm sure a lot changes in that amount of time. You just think how much has changed in the last 10 years or 20 years in America. How much things have increased in price in just the last 5 years. But 500 years prior, it was prophesied that the Lord Jesus Christ would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and he was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. The Lord's prophecies are spot on, amen. Now, there's something interesting about that 30 pieces of silver as well. Come to Exodus chapter 21. That was Zechariah 11:12. I like the way you put that. What was that address? Exodus. Come to Exodus, if you will, 21. Talking about this 30 pieces of silver for just a minute. Not going to stay here long, but I think this is interesting. I want to read this because this 30 pieces of silver was just even more slander towards the Lord Jesus Christ. It was just further being more cruel towards him was the price. And the reason for that, 30 pieces of silver is the price for a gored slave. Look what the Bible says in Exodus 21, verse 31. Whether he, speaking of an ox, whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And so the amount agreed upon by Judas for delivering up the Lord Jesus Christ was just more slander and hatred toward our Savior. The religious leaders of that day would not even accept the price of a free man or the price of a healthy, profitable slave. They were willing to take the price of an injured slave or a gored slave for the crucifixion of the Savior. So Judas' terrible crime was predicted. Now, come to John chapter 6. I'm sure that the majority of you are completely aware of this, but I want you to be fully aware of this. It is important doctrinally in the Bible. This is my second point. Judas was never saved. You say, wait a minute. He had a position. He was an apostle. Judas was never saved. Look at the Bible. John chapter 6, verse number 70, the words of Jesus. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, the word chosen in verse number 70 does not mean that Judas was elected or predestinated to be saved or to salvation. It simply means that he was chosen to or selected for an office or a position, not that he was chosen for salvation. Now, look again at the statement by Jesus, verse number 70. "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Now you think about this. If Jesus were, and he is not, but if Jesus was choosing Judas to salvation, it would not say that Judas is a devil. It would say Judas was a devil. He would no longer be a devil if he was saved. No, he's a devil currently. Jesus is talking. So the fact that he was chosen to be an apostle does not mean that he was born again. It does not mean that he was saved and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, Jesus knew that Judas was a traitor when he chose him. Luke chapter 6, verse number 13. "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles: Simon, whom he also called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zealots, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot." Now notice this, "which also was the traitor." And so, man, your name's in the Bible this many times, and you betrayed him, you betrayed him, you betrayed him, you betrayed him 11 times, And your name appears again this time. Well, he's not a traitor. He didn't betray him. He's a traitor. Oh, yeah, he did betray him. That's what traitors do. Now, so the fact that a person, here's the thing about this. The fact that a person fills the office in a church or even fills it well doesn't mean that man is saved. Now, I want to show you something. Come to Matthew, if you will, chapter 7. Just because someone has a position doesn't mean they know Jesus. Just because someone has been selected to hold an office doesn't mean they're born again. This is a very humbling passage of Scripture. Notice what the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 7. Some people say, I don't believe that preacher. Well, Jesus did. Look what he said in verse 21, Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, don't miss words in the Bible. This next word is a scary thought. Many. Many. Not few, not some. Jesus said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So it is possible for an individual to have a successful ministry as far as the world's concerned, or as far as man can see, and it not be a successful ministry at all in the eyes of God. And so the fact that Judas was never saved is clear from many, many scriptures, even though the other 11, now this is the scary thing about that, the Lord had chosen him to be an apostle. He witnessed the miracles that Jesus did. He heard the teaching and the preaching that Jesus did. He was there with him all along. Jesus knew he was a devil. Jesus knew he was a traitor. Jesus knew he was a liar, but those other 11 didn't know. And so he never fools Jesus. He fooled others, but he certainly didn't fool him. In fact, Jesus said, the Bible says in John 13, verse number 10, Jesus said unto him, he that washeth needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, notice it, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean. And so Jesus knew very well that Judas was not saved. He called him a devil. He is also called the son of perdition in John chapter 17 and verse number 12. And that is one of the names for the Antichrist in Thessalonians chapter 2. And Judas was a thief. We know that. The Bible tells us in John 12 and verse number 6. Then said he not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Man, this man, my goodness, he betrayed the Christ. He's a traitor. He's a thief. Horrible. Horrible. Now, here's an interesting thing. Look at Acts chapter 1. We're going to spend some time in Acts in just a moment. But I mentioned that Judas was never saved. And some people get hung up on that, especially people that think you can lose your salvation. But you have to have salvation before you can lose it. And then this is one of the verses that they like to use. Acts chapter 1, look at verse number 25. The Bible says that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. So we have to look at this because there are so many people that believe, I have no idea why they believe that, and I can never talk any of them out of it, that believe you can lose your salvation, and this is one of the passages that they like to use, but Judas was never saved. And so Judas, what did he fall from? From which Judas fell by transgression fell. He fell from his position. He fell from being an apostle. Why do you know that? Because the entire context of this is written in is talking about choosing a man for his replacement. So he fell from the ministry. He fell from his position. He was never saved. And so this replacement is being chosen. Now we're going to come back to this passage in a little bit. If you want to hang on to that, because we got to look at that. He went to his own place. Now, so Judas' terrible crime was predicted. Judas was never saved. Number three, Judas betrayed Christ with a kiss. Come to Luke chapter 22. The extreme hatred of Judas' crime reached its limit when he gave the enemies of Christ a symbol of affection by kissing the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the Bible says that the heart is wicked. In fact, Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 22. Look at verse 47. The Bible says, and while he spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. Now, notice the compassion of the Savior. Look what he said. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Now, I understand that Jesus is asking this question, but I think it's more than Jesus just asking Judas a question. I think Jesus is at one more time extending mercy and grace to Judas. Look, you know who I am. You've been with me all this time. You have to know that I am not just an ordinary individual. And yet you're going to betray me with a kiss. Now, so listen, the next time that you feel mistreated or betrayed or abused or stabbed in the back or talked about or misunderstood, remember how Jesus was treated by a man that he referred to as his friend. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I mentioned this earlier. Look at Matthew 26. Look at verse 48. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. Verse 49. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Now notice how Jesus responded to that. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now, I mentioned this earlier, it is evident that Judas was not Jesus' friend, but Jesus was his friend. And there's certainly something in that you and I could learn as well. And that is, may the Lord help you and I to be friends to those who don't want to be our friend. Or try to be friends with those who have no desire to be a friend with us. It was clear that Judas had no desire to be his friend, but Jesus referred to him as a friend. Now come to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Here's the fourth thing. Judas hanged himself. We're talking about the fall of Judas. It was a hard fall. I probably won't take the time to read some of the things in Acts chapter 1, but it talked about he fell headlong, his bowels burst asunder. What a horrible way to die. But Matthew 27 says this, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself. So it seems that Judas saw himself condemned, but he still refused to place his faith and his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says here that he repented himself. There's no repentance toward God. There's no faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible does say in this passage, I do like this. He said, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. What a blessing that he recognized that was the innocent blood, but he still didn't repent toward Christ. He repented himself. He tried to reconcile his sin or his crime by trying to make restitution, trying to return the money. That's not salvation. So now I'm not saying that he shouldn't do that, but you do those things after you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to make restitution for someone, you don't do that for salvation. And so Jesus must forgive your sin. Giving back the money doesn't undo the crime. Jesus was still beaten and crucified. And Judas, realizing his horrible crime, hanging himself, he took his own life. Now, I mentioned this a moment ago. Come back to Acts chapter 1, and we'll talk about this last phrase in Acts chapter 1 and verse 25. Number 5, Judas went to his own place. The Bible says that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Now, because this verse doesn't say that Judas went to hell, there's a great debate over that. People have all kinds of ideas, and it's amazing how colorful some people can be in their writing without any Bible to back it up at all whatsoever. But I think very, very plainly and very simply that Judas went to hell. Now, if you don't believe that, you're probably wrong about some other things as well. But and here's why. There's only two places to go. There's no purgatory. There's no soul sleep. None of that. There's a heaven and a hell. And it's quite obvious that he didn't go to heaven. So where did he go? He went to hell. And so how many places, you know, there's only two places. The Bible doesn't teach purgatory or any other location at all whatsoever. And so he said, well, why does it say that he went to his own place? Well, in John chapter 14, Jesus speaking to believers, we know that he's talking about heaven. What did he say? I go to prepare a place for you. And so just because he used the word place doesn't mean he went somewhere special. He went somewhere special, all right. Somewhere I have no desire to go. So that I think that pretty much settles that. I don't have any, I don't need any debate at all. I believe Judas went to hell. He died without Christ. He lifted his eyes in hell, just like the rich man in Luke chapter 16. So aside from that, there's this ongoing debate of whether Judas was human or whether he was demonic. And because he has, you know, he's called the son of perdition. Well, you know, that's, people are called a lot of names. I've been called a lot of names over my life, many of which I would never share. But so just because he's called son of perdition, you know, doesn't mean that he's demonic or anything like that. In fact, let me just show you. Come to John, the Gospel of John for just a minute. Judas was born into a normal home, which included a normal mother and father. Nothing special about this guy. Look at Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 71. John 6, verse 71. The Bible makes this statement three times. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now look at chapter 13, John chapter 13. And look at verse number 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, now here it says it again, Simon's son. All right, look at verse 26, same chapter. John 13, look at verse 26. Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. So it is obvious that he is human. We're told three times that he's the son of Simon. Now, second of all, it was the devil that led Judas to betray Jesus Christ. I mentioned this just a moment ago in verse number 2. You're still in John 13. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." So Judas was obviously operating under the influence of the devil. By the way, there's a lot of people, even in today's time, that is operating under the influence of the devil. Some of the horrible crimes that are committed today, you've got to be driven by something other than just stupidity to do some of the things that people are doing. And so he was led by Satan. He was led by the devil to do those things. Now, look at John chapter 13. You're still there. Look at verse 26. So it was the devil that led Judas to betray Jesus Christ. Satan took control of Judas from the inside. Look at verse 26. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, now notice this, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." So the devil, Satan, led Judas to do the things that he has done. And Satan, the devil, has led numerous people to do all kind of things that have gone on for ages past and still continue even today. Now, Jesus did not say Judas was the devil, nor filled with the devil, nor the devil incarnate. But he did say that Jesus was a devil. I think I've met a few people that They weren't the devil, but they was a devil. Amen. Now, in conclusion, I'd like to make several comments about Judas that is said about no other person in the Bible. We have looked at him, that he might go to his own place. That statement is unique to Judas Iscariot. He's the only person in the Bible called a devil. Although Jesus did look at Peter one time and say, "Satan, get thee behind me," because of the way he was acting. And I'm certain he's probably done me that way a few times as well. No other person in the Bible is called the son of perdition. We know that that's one of the names for the Antichrist in 1 Thessalonians. So here, come to John chapter 17. I'll answer your question. Why did Jesus choose a devil to fill the office of apostleship? Why was Judas chosen as one of the 12? Well, Jesus himself answered that question. Look at John 17 and verse number 12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition." Now here's why. "That the scripture might be fulfilled." So Jesus chose him to fulfill scripture. Now, before the world was, before the first man was ever created, God had a plan in process for salvation. God was going to send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was willing to go and to die for our sin. And after man believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God would take up residence in the heart of man. And so who am I, who are you? When God knows the beginning from the end, who am I to question God as to who one of His 12 is going to be? Or who are you to question God concerning who one of His 12 is going to be? I don't have all the answers for that. Jesus did that to fulfill Scripture. That's good enough for me. It's all I need to know. He knows far better than I do. Now here's some practical lessons. First of all, everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," will not enter in. Just because someone wears a suit and a tie or a dress doesn't mean they know Jesus. Just because someone carries a King James Bible and holds a position in church doesn't mean they're saved. We see clearly from Scripture that it is sadly possible to be associated with Jesus, to hear His precious words, witness His powerful miracles, and yet refuse Him a place in our heart and ultimately be lost for all eternity. Thinking about those things and studying Judas, I often wonder, the folks that sit in our fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist churches week after week, who is saved? Who isn't saved? I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm just saying the Lord said there will be many that doeth wonderful works. Many works, He said, in my name. And He never knew them. None of the 11 knew who Judas was, but Jesus did. So here's the thing. Be sure before you die that you know you're going to a place prepared for you by the Lord Jesus. And make sure you're not going to your own place. I don't care anything for that place. Amen. Father, thank You for the Bible. The opportunity to look at a Bible character that is oftentimes seen as very mysterious, but the Bible makes it pretty plain that He allowed Satan to take advantage of him and indwell him and use him to do despicable things. Lord, oftentimes, even in our day, we hear of so many things that are obviously people are being driven by an influence other than themselves. And whether people want to admit it or not, I believe the devil himself has guided them to do many heinous things. Would You help us, Lord, to continue to teach and to preach and to try to live in such a way that's pleasing to the Lord. We sure are thankful for the Bible. We're thankful that You have inspired and preserved Your Word for us. And I pray You to help us to ever honor it, Lord. Praise You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.